Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Heather Reads Between the Lines. I hope you've had a wonderful week, and I'm really glad that you've joined with me today to catch up. Not a lot happened this week. It's been pretty quiet around here. So let's go ahead and get right into talking about Cold Case Colorado. It is our very first two-parter episode. Yeah, I was surprised too. It's actually 50 pages shorter than She Dreamed of a Cowboy. So I'm really surprised at how much information has been packed into this book. Like, you know, fiber bars or like the meal replacement bars, and you think that they look really good. You're like, oh man, this one tastes like chocolate or this one tastes like peanut butter. And then you take a bite and you're like, oh, I have regrets now. Because it's just dense and chewy, and you can't really get any good satisfaction out of it because you're too busy trying to eat it. That's what Cold Case Colorado feels like so far. I called it the case of the info dump, and boy oh boy, is it ever an info dump. I'm just really kind of amazed at how much you have to really think about reading this book. It's supposed to be like, you know, just past, like, you know, just a bygone, like, you know, not even like something that you're really supposed to think about very much. It's supposed to be just an easy little read, but it's a lot. Cold Case Colorado is a lot. There's a lot more to talk about it, but we'll get into that on our next episode, because the second part's got a lot going on as well, so I'll hold on all of that for now. What I am really excited to talk about, though, is what I've been reading this week. I have been reading Sword in the Stars by Amy Rose Capetta and Corey McCarthy. It is the sequel to their book Once in Future. It's basically a retelling of the Arthurian legend, where King Arthur has been reincarnated into a young woman after an entire slew of men have taken up the mantle. These books feature a little bit more on Merlin's perspective, on his quest to get King Arthur to unite all of humanity. He has failed pretty much every single time, and Ari is the latest attempt. This is also a version where Merlin ages backwards, so I know a couple of the myths that take on the King Arthur story, they'll do that aging backwards thing. It's the story itself takes far place in the distant future. It's your standard sci-fi with, you know, one big giant mega corporation, an evil mega corporation, just pretty much controlling everything in the universe. It's the corporation Mercer, and it's got your, you know, your band of ragtag heroes just up against this great faceless evil. I might brush up on my Arthurian lore if you want to read this book. But if you didn't, I don't think you would have a bad time reading this book at all. It's actually a very, very fun read. The really big, interesting thing about these books, though, it's the Arthur story is kind of the backdrop. It's our set dressing, because it really focuses a lot on themes of gender and sexuality. These books are written for the young adult genre. So the themes, the way they're handled, they can feel a bit heavy-handed. When I read the first book, I thought it was kind of like, you know, beating me over the head with a frying pan, but I kind of wondered if that's because we're not used to seeing these themes in modern media yet. I feel like the books were written from a place of frustration, because the LGBTQ+ community, they have no mainstream representation at all. So the themes can feel heavy-handed, but that's probably because we want to see these a lot more. Ari, our hero, she is gay. Merlin is very gay. There are characters with non-binary genders, and gender expression falls far beyond the strict masculine-feminine roles that our society has created. One thing that I really do like about the books, too, is, you know, James Patterson. Yeah. That James Patterson, he read the book, the first one, and he said, the world needs this, and he gave it to us. He basically has this entire imprint of a publishing group called Jimmy Presents for young adult novels, And he uses that to support and put out authors that he think are really interesting and really important, and who are up and coming as well, who may not, you know, necessarily get into the world that is publishing, because it can be crazy to get something published. I think that's an incredible move. I don't really read a lot of James Patterson. A lot of his books don't really fall into my interest, but I know what a powerhouse he is. And I think it's so very cool that he found this book and he told himself, people need to read this. And I think he's right. People do need to read this. We need better, more ethical representation for the LGBTQ+ community these days. And if the themes feel heavy-handed, it's just because we're just not used to seeing them. I want to be able to pick up a book and go, oh yeah, this is completely normal. And I think it's really important that James Patterson is trying to make that a reality. I really do think that people in the LGBTQ+ community would really enjoy this. I actually recommended it to a friend of mine, and I told them, I think the best way to sum up this book is, I would call it gender justice. I don't think I've ever heard this phrase before, but that's the best way I can conceptualize it. I've never seen a book that goes so far into how important this representation can be. There, every aspect of the story does touch some way on the LGBTQ community, from sexuality to gender expression to, yeah, just it is all under the giant rainbow umbrella. It's great. I think it's fantastic. And I really, really like the way the story played out. The Sword in the Stars, the one that I'm currently reading, sees our gang, so to speak, back in time in the world of the original myth. So it's really interesting seeing a lot of these modern themes superimposed onto the background of a world that was not receptive to such things. And they talk about that a lot. So if you're a young person in high school and you're looking for some books that, you know, express or touch upon who you are, it makes you feel seen and that, you know, you're a part of this world. You are an important part of the story. I think this is a great book for you. For individuals who are maybe around my age, us elder millennials, as I think we're starting to get called, it's a book that you can read and go, oh, this is kind of the book I needed when I was that age. And then you can also think to yourself, the kids are going to be just fine. they're going to be okay. They're going to do great. So yeah, I highly recommend reading Once in Future and Sword in the Stars. And coincidentally, this was a total accident. Happy Pride, everyone. So I totally, totally, totally encourage you to go read those books. For now, I think that's where we're going to leave it today. Next week, it's going to be more Cold Case Colorado. It's going to be fun. So yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. I will catch you next time when we try to catch a murderer and maybe find a believable romance. Well, we'll have to see next time on Heather Reads, the podcast. If you like the show, you can visit us at heatherreads.com for more. There you can also find links to the music you heard on our show today, provided by The Heartbeats. If you have any questions or just want to say hi, you can email us at podcast@heatherreads.com. The show is written and produced by me, Heather Songster, and our technical advisor is Kwang Hyun Cho. And remember, it doesn't matter what you read, only that it's what you love.